All right. Good evening. It is Tuesday, October 24, 2023, 7 p.m., and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember DeBoard.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Robbins.
Here.
Morrison. Odison.
Here. Under ceremonial matters, good evening. Under ceremonial matters, something near and dear to my heart, we have a proclamation. And if you'll bear with me, I'd like to read the proclamation. This is in recognition of the sovereign nation status of Wrangell Cooperative Association and their many contributions to our Wrangell community. Whereas November is a federally observed Native American Indian Heritage Month, and Alaska recognizes November as Alaskan Native Heritage Month, and whereas Wrangell Cooperative Association is a federally recognized tribe in the community where the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska desires to declare and reinforce a formal recognition of the Wrangell Cooperative Association as a tribal government. And whereas Wrangell Cooperative Association promotes and maintains a vibrant culture and tradition and holds a deeply rooted sense of community within Wrangell, with the mission to support the cultural, ceremonial, and subsistence lifestyle for all Alaskans, and to promote the safe use and availability of a healthy environment for present and future generations. And whereas the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska values a strong, effective, and honorable relationship with the Wrangell Cooperative Association, and whereas the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska respect the endurance and success of Wrangell Cooperative Association through their cultivation of a traditional language, cultural beliefs, oral narratives, and subsistence lifestyles, and appreciate and value the important contributions of infrastructure, services, and monetary donations, including but not limited to WCA transportation program in relationship with the U.S. Federal Highways Administration contributed $4,231,180 since 2011 to plan, design, manage, rehabilitate, and maintain roads, paths, trails, and bridges that directly benefit our Wrangell community. And WCA contributed $6,000 to $10,000 annually in Institute of Museum and Library Sciences grant funding since 2015 for a total contribution of $68,205 to the Irene Engel Public Library, and contributed $14,000 in COVID library relief grant funds in 2022, and contributed another $500 Friends of Irene Engel Public Library mini grant in 2019. And WCA contributed annual pass-through grant funding since 2007 for a total contribution of $1,932,888, and in the years 2018 through 2019 also contributed a total of $2,000 in mini grants to the Wrangell Senior Center, and WCA contributed $86,520 for COVID ambulance equipment, $2,500 to the search and rescue canine team, and $500 for CPR equipment to the Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department from the years 2018 to 2020. And WCA distributed $2,139,790 in food cards and $1,740,566 in electric payments for community members since 2020, generating $271,625 in sales tax revenues for the city. And WCA contributed $5,000 for petroglyph beach improvements, $2,000 for exercise equipment, and $1,000 to the aquatics program at our Parks and Recreation Department. And WCA contributed a total of $17,000 to Wrangell Public Schools sports teams since 2018, and an additional $20,000 towards construction of the Evergreen Elementary School garden. And WCA currently has funds to contribute $23,400 towards the replacement of Wrangell City street signs. And whereas the total contributions during the last few years to the city and her citizens totals over $10.5 million, and the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska desires to recognize, celebrate, and strengthen collaborations with Wrangell Cooperative Association, government to government, to achieve mutual objectives. Now, therefore, I, Patricia Gilbert, Mayor for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim November 2023 as an Alaskan Native Heritage Month, recognizing the sovereign nation status of Wrangell Cooperative Association and their many contributions to our Wrangell community. Signed and sealed on behalf of the City and Borough of Wrangell this 24th day of October 2023. And with much gratitude and in the hope that we will soon meet for a work session. I like to call them workshops because I like to get things accomplished, but to meet on behalf of working towards our mutual goals. So I'm very glad to recognize WCA. And we have this proclamation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you for all your good peace. Thank you. All right. On with our meeting. Persons to be heard. Oh, Sage Smiley, who is soon to leave Wrangell.
So that's part of why I'm here to speak tonight. So Sage Smiley, P.O. Box 1976 here in Wrangell. My first topic is less sentimental, which is that, as many of you know, I have been a part of the community theater program, the reemergence of the community theater program here in Wrangell. And I would like to encourage the Borough Assembly and Borough Administration to think about creating a board to oversee community theater productions. Because as much as I love and appreciate the Nolan Center's support of community theater, I believe that those funds should not entirely go back to the borough. I think that they should be set aside in part. I understand some of the money should likely go to the operations of the Nolan Center, but I do believe that the hard work of the community theater participants there should be money set aside for future productions, and that should be overseen by a board of citizens. The second thing that I want to say is thank you, and I hope you'll forgive me. I'm actually feeling very emotional. I have covered the assembly and Wrangell as a whole by myself at KSDK for the last 3 years. More than 3 years, and I'm really grateful for the communication and the openness and the willingness to talk to me and answer all of my questions from the borough. I came here during COVID. I know that many borough governments were much more rancorous than Wrangell's was, and I know the people on the assembly might not have that perspective because, you know, you're here on the assembly and you got a lot of flack for what you did. But I very much appreciate the Brangle Borough government and what the current administration and government has been doing to improve this town. And I know I never really get to say that, and you never really get to see me because I'm up at the station, but I wanted to say thank you and that it's been an honor to be your KSDK reporter. So, thanks.
Thank you, Sage. Now you've got me crying. Thank you. Amendments to the agenda? Assembly Member DeBoard?
Yes, Mayor. I would like to remove 13A, please, and bring back as a potentially a three-year contract.
Okay. You want to remove it, or would you want
remove
to
it
amend it?
No, bring it forward at
the
next
future
meeting.
Day?
Yes,
okay. Does any assembly member disagree, assembly or borough manager Good?
Yeah, I would prefer to keep it as a 1 year for now. I think keeping it as a 1 year, especially in the short time frame that we have for this year to get it done, it allows me to kind of hold the feet to the fire a little bit. And then two, I think if we're going to put it out as a 3 year, I would like to go out as a open bid for a 3 year instead of just a 3 year going back to the same group. And being at, and I apologize, it's my fault, being at this late of the year to go back for a 1 year. But I think if we're going to do a 3 year, I'd much prefer to go out as a regular bid for multiple agencies. And I think just given what we've gone through this past year and the amount of increases that we have had, I think keeping the same company for one more year, let's get through this process again one more year, I think then put it out to bid for a three-year contract at that point would be my preference. But
and your idea is to put it out to bid. My problem with this item 13A is I want, before we go out to bid, I want to make sure that they have all of our input into the MARS system. And I'm not convinced.
It is.
Even Myers Truck and whatever little bit that they do with Myers Truck.
It should be, I'll verify Myers Truck.
And that's kind of, you talk about holding their feet to the fire. That's what I was thinking. I would like to keep it on the agenda, and we can deal with it during the discussion. Okay.
Yeah.
But we're sort of on the same track, Assembly Member DeBoard. Any other amendments to the agenda? Conflict of interest. Any assembly member have a conflict? All right. Consent agenda. Entertain a motion.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by DeBoard, second by Robbins. Any discussion, consent agenda?
Thank you, Mayor.
Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Borough manager's report.
Madam Mayor, I don't have a whole lot to report this time because I've been out for the past 12 days, but just kind of going over what some of the accomplishments for the directors. So for the library, they have their new early literacy stations. They've arrived and they have them all set up, and that was all done through grant money. So great job the library to get those up. October 21st was their first official book club meeting. And so those are meeting on a regular basis now. And then October 5th was the Bring Your Own Craft, so that's program start as well. And then story time as well has continued on. For municipal light and power, they deployed a fourth gateway providing coverage basically for everything south of 7 Mile. So getting all the gateways installed for them. And for Parks and Rec, Aaron Gross has accepted the Parks Custodian Light Maintenance position, so back up to staff for Parks and Rec. From the facilities perspective, American Red Cross lifeguard course scheduled for Thursday, October 6th through the 9th. So they had five people registered for that event and got that done. Community Center continues to see increase in usage with over 700 users during the month of September. And got a stair project that we're looking at for both the north and south end of the stairs that allow access from the high school parking lot to the community center. So working on trying to get that project going. And then as you can kind of drop by and see, they're doing making progress on the pool siding, on the siding on the north side of the building. And I think it looks, it's looking really good. So good to see that work moving along. One thing that they are doing at Parks is they're kind of looking at the Shoemaker RV site for potential micro cabins. So trying to get some cost estimates out there for micro cabins, because we're just not seeing a whole lot of RV use out there. So maybe some small cabins or some pads for people to camp out there to kind of improve that area. And then looking at some trail maintenance for Mount Dewey, metal mesh that's out there it's in pretty rough shape and slipping. So looking at possibly using the netting material for that. And then looking at the volunteer trail that has some drainage issues that we're looking at.
Okay. Any questions? All right. And we have an infrastructure report.
Good evening. Amber Alhadad, Capital Facilities Director. I have a long report, but I'll keep it brief. I have separated my projects for you tonight in project phases to maybe help you understand a little bit more kind of what projects have been completed and which ones are moving into that phase sequentially. So for our projects completed, I would like to happily report that we closed out the lift station standby generator at Wood Street. That was part of a $1.8 million grant that we got from the state to assist with the new hospital. We had that grant for how long, do we say, about 10 years. And I think we left a little bit less than $10,000 on the table, but we were able to spend the majority of that money. And the last of it was that generator enclosure and the generator to support the lift station on Wood Street. So Mason and I have closed that out with the state. The Nolan Center Storage Building Foundation, that project is complete. I thank the contractor for their good work on that project. The Wrangell Public School Condition Survey, that project is also complete. The A&E team completed the condition assessment reports and the cost estimates for all three schools back in July. From that information, our grant writing consultant completed the deed CIP grant. It was submitted, and I think November 5th is the date that's stipulated on the Department of Education's website for a notification of which projects will receive funding. The AMI system for electric meters, most of those meters are now installed, with the exception of some newly identified meters at Heritage Harbor. Those are en route to us. We expect to have the balance of the meters in November. Meanwhile, staff with the utilities are becoming familiar with the smart meter software, and I think they're looking forward to being able to use that. Not sure if in the next billing cycle, but one soon to completely use that software for that. So it's pretty exciting for them. The high school and middle school fire alarm system replacement project, the contractor for that project is substantially complete. We had the substantial completion inspection already back in August, and then a second one in September. I want to thank Josh Blatchley for managing that project with the school. The contractor is now working on a few punch list items and some fee credits that for some work that was not accomplished at our request, and we'll see some change conditions and credits for that. So the rec center HVAC and DDC project is also complete. We had our substantial completion with the engineer in August, and the inspection report has been submitted to the contractors, and they're are just a few punch list items that they need to finish, and then we'll be able to close that project out. The last two projects that I mentioned, the high school fire alarm system replacement and the HVAC and DDC upgrades at the pool rec center, those were CDBG grant program funded projects, which is the same program that you'll we'll have the public hearing on later this evening. Projects in construction phase. So the swimming pool siding replacement, that project continues and is nearing completion. The manufacturer of the column panel material has had difficulty achieving the wolf graphics on the red panel that was selected. That has delayed the fabrication of those panels, and recently we decided to forego the graphics on the panels to get these panels moving forward. It was a hard decision, but Parks and Rec decided they will come up with another plan to dress up the front of the building. We don't expect to see the wrangles in, panels in Wrangell until late winter. In the meantime, the remainder of the siding will be complete soon, and a protocol will be established to protect the columns through the winter until the panels arrive for installation in the spring of 2024. Aldertop Village Subdivision, Phase 1 site clearing. The site clearing and the pioneering of the roads continues. The contractor has completed approximately 85% of the road work and will fall back to develop the embankments once the roads are complete. We do expect the contractor to be complete by the end of November. We did give them a no-cost change order to allow them to have until the end of November to complete the work. Those are all the projects under construction right now. So moving into projects advancing to the construction phase, we have the Ports and Harbor Security System. That project has already bid. The contractor has submitted all of their submittals, and they are in the material acquisition phase right now. They're anticipating materials to arrive in Wrangell, and they, if all goes well with their arrival, they hope to start that project by the middle of November. The Wrangell Harbor Anodes, we have executed the contract we've issued the contract and just received the bonds from the contractor. Looking to execute the contract and then issue a notice to proceed, and then we'll move forward with a pre-construction meeting and get that project moving into construction. The underground storage fuel tanks for the school and the public safety building, we were successful in establishing a contract with one of the state-certified UST workers. We have issued the notices of intent to close to DEC for both of those tanks. And the certified worker for the decommissioning is scheduled to arrive in Wrangell on October 31st to start that project. With him will be an environmental engineer to do the environmental investigation that's required as part of that work as well. The next project is the non-motorized transportation system, otherwise known as the Mount Dewey Trail Extension. Following the assemblies, approval to sole source the project to Ketchikan Ready Mix, who was the only bidder on that project. We are working with the contractor and the engineer consecutively to develop a revised scope. We did meet with them last week, and I think we have the majority of the cost savings identified according to input from the contractor. The biggest changes to that project will be removing the step and run wooden infrastructure that was located on the hillside, the steep hillside. We're going to be replacing those stairs with a gravel trail. We will use a U.S. Forest Service standard specification for trails of that nature. and where needed, the wooden stairs are going to be replaced with concrete block steps. This has been done in a couple of the other Forest Service trails that were built in the region recently. So we are anxious to see a new trail construction method here in Wrangell. The other thing that we're changing is we are increasing the 3-foot wide section of trail to a 6-foot wide section because the contractor said that's what they bid anyway because it was easier to build that trail in 6-foot wide than a 3-foot wide. So we'll have a wide 6-foot trail all the way to the base of the mountain. And that will be continuous from the base of the mountain to Bennett Street. The 300-foot connector trail on the Volunteer Loop Trail that was part of this larger project is complete, and I would like to thank the Walker Foundation and the Wrangell Cooperative Association for their generous donations towards that project, and also the in-kind labor from the Forest Service and their SCA seasonal crew who performed the trail construction for that section of the project. If you haven't been out to check it out, please do. It's a really nice addition to the Volunteer Loop Trail. Our big project, the water treatment plant improvements project, following your the assembly's approval of the contract to MCG Constructors on October 11th, a notice of award was issued to them the next day, October 12th. Since then, we are still working to get a contract in place. It's under review right now by both of our federal funding partners as well as our attorney, and we have to have their concurrence before we can get the contractor to sign. In the meantime, the contractor has moved swiftly to get their subcontracts in place, and they will be here on Thursday of this week along with Dow Engineering to hold our pre-construction meeting. So that's a huge milestone for us, our next milestone. So I'm going to thank MCG Constructors for moving forward with all of that prior to having a contract in hand. We also want to thank Dow for doing that. We delayed getting a construction administration and inspection contract, an amendment with Dow together, and approved. We delayed that at the beginning of the design contract so that we had a better understanding after the design was complete of what that would look like. We just received their fee proposal for that. It's under 4% of the construction contract, which is well under what the standard is. So you will be seeing that at your next meeting to approve that for Dow to move forward with us through the construction phase. Again, thanks to them, they're taking on risk, I guess, that we'll issue that to them, and they're coming in on Thursday to conduct the pre-construction meeting with us. So that is moving forward. Since we're 2 months behind the schedule, while we sought the shortfall in funding for that project, and based on the lead times for certain building materials that the contractor has provided us, those in particular, the more critical, longer lead items are the water treatment equipment. So the $3.5 million package that we pre-selected earlier, that's a 10-month lead item at this point. The electrical switchgear is a 12-month lead item, and the standby generator is a 14-month lead item. So it is our plan to request a time extension from both EDA and USDA, and we anticipate a completion of this project in spring of 2025. Moving into projects advancing to the competitive construction bidding phase, all of these projects have pretty much finalized all the design, and now they are waiting for my department to be able to move them forward to the construction bidding phase. Those projects are the Nolan Center Standby Generator Upgrades Project, the 9-megawatt to the 12-megawatt Power Generation Improvement Project, the High School Elevator Modernization Project, the City Park Pavilion Replacement, that is the pavilion that was damaged by through the windstorm, and the loading dock project for the solid waste transfer facility. Those are five projects that we expect to see hit the streets for construction bidding in the next few months as our time allows us to get those out.
The Nolan Generator, City Park Loading Dock, what were the two that I missed?
The elevator?
Oh, yeah, how can I miss the elevator? Stressing about that
and
elevator.
Power generator, the power plant upgrade from the 9-megawatt to the 12-megawatt capacity. Did you? Is that five for you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then projects.
Oh, do we have that third transformer in?
It has arrived Wrangell, but we have not collected it from Samson yet.
Okay. So we have all three.
3-watt
transformers.
Correct.
Oh, good.
Correct.
Okay.
And then projects in planning and design phase. We talked about the UST, the underground storage tanks that are seeing the decommissioning of the work. There will be a subsequent project to replace those underground storage tanks with above ground storage tanks. So our engineers are finalizing the design for that, and we'll be putting that out to bid. We do plan to repurpose a 1,300-gallon tank that used to serve the former Armory building. We're going to use that tank at the public safety building, and then the high school tank will need to be a new purchase tank. So that is our plan moving forward.
Also in design, the City Park fireplace replacement, the crumbling fire pit and the chimney were demolished back in August, and R&M Engineering is working to put together design criteria for the replacement of that fireplace and chimney. Currently, that facility is open to public use. It just doesn't have the return of the fireplace yet. The Sunset Gardens Cemetery expansion and columbarium, the conceptual site drawings have been provided to us, and we will be responding to R&M so that they can move forward and prepare the grading and construction details along with the quantities and a cost estimate, which we have mentioned to you before. We'll use that to come back and request a budget amendment for that future work. The airport runway lighting generator and electrical connectivity, we are still waiting on FAA to finalize their review of that project, required when you're within a certain distance of a TSA secured area. The design is complete. As soon as we get that review, we'll be moving that to construction bidding. The power plant building rehab design project, P&D performed their site survey in July, and then their entire design team came into Wrangell in late August to develop as-builts of the building and perform their on-site reviews of the various design disciplines. They met with Municipal Light and Power staff to discuss the operational needs for building design and functionality, and we expect their 35% design in November on that project. The 5th and 6th Avenue roads development in the Industrial Park subdivision, engineering has completed approximately 35% of the design work, from which they were able to develop the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit for wetland impacts, and we are just waiting to hear back from the Corps before we can move that project forward. I have asked for a determination from the Alaska Regional Office of the Corps as to how the recent Supreme Court case has affected Alaska with wetland reviews, and I have not received a response yet. Our contact, who is there, who's always very helpful, she has taken another position elsewhere, and she passed our request on to the new person. So hope to hear from them soon. Until then, I think they're recommending that we move forward and still submit a permit, and they will be, I think they're still required to review those. The Myers-Chuck Harbor replacement design. In late September, the Alaska DOT Harbor Facilities Program notified us that our project was selected as a priority project to receive funding that we requested for that project in the amount of $1,092,000. In the meantime, we have been working with P&D to develop a variety of float concepts with different costs associated with them so that we could determine what our best way forward with that project was, you know, once we knew whether or not we would receive the funding. From that, we have selected our preferred alternative has been identified, and P&D is moving into the next phase of design for that float project. And then last but not least, the public safety building, the preliminary architectural report development. We are still working to finalize the contract with Northwinds and their A&E team to begin the work of that report. I did recently reach back out to them and found out that they had an error in their spreadsheet when they put together their fee proposal and are asking if we would consider compensating them for the error, which was a missed consultant's fee to the tune of about $10,000. So I'll be working with Jeff, and we'll talk about bringing that to you for review at the November 14th meeting to move that project forward. That's all I have to report. Do you have any questions?
On the PAR report, when do you think, if we take care of the 10,000, when would they be able to start that report?
I have asked them if they can complete that work by the end of January, and they've said yes as of last week.
Okay. I really like this breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, in my mind too, it makes more sense to share that information with you all in that manner.
Right, so. Instead of bundling them together. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. Clerk?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. On the cemetery extension mm-hmm. project, is there a possibility of setting the columbarium in place? I have less than 10 spots in the current columbarium available, and so that worries me.
In the design, the columbarium is kind of in the middle of where we're going to be doing the work. So I'll talk to you about that a little bit later.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've had a community member ask me about the new columbarium, yeah, too.
You have 10 yet to be sold?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah. Any questions? Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good reports. Thank you. Borough Clerk's report, please.
Not a whole lot, except that I did receive a call from KSTK last week that they received a grant opportunity to be able to improve the sound quality for our meetings. So I'm really excited about that. So hopefully I'll get more information on that as it happens. So also, I've begun advertising for the CEPA board voting member and alternate member. I've received a couple of letters of interest, and the assembly will appoint at the next assembly meeting for that, and that'll be for the calendar year 2024. And then for the 2025, I believe we have two and two, so we have two voting, two alternates. So, and then also we've begun advertising for the borough manager replacement. The day after the last meeting, we started advertising through AML, Sentinel, and as of today, we started advertising, the days are just kind of blending together, with ICMA. So, we'll see what happens. I've received a couple of resumes, and I believe at the next assembly meeting, we'll look at appointing two assembly members to review those resumes as they come in so that the assembly can do a full-scale interview of those.
And the position's open until filled?
It is open until filled, okay, with the first review date, November 1st, although I don't anticipate really that happening.
Yeah.
I think I was ambitious. So it is open until filled, and it does say open until filled.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? All right. Under mayor and assembly business, any assembly members have anything to report? And as municipal clerk Lane mentioned, we will appoint two assembly members to vet and review the applications. So if you'd like to be considered, let me know. All right. Now we get to mayor and assembly appointments, and we do have a vacancy on the Parks and Rec Board. So if there's any member of the community that would like to volunteer to serve on that board, very worthwhile. We have one position available on planning and zoning, and on the finance committee, formerly called the investment committee, we were advertising for probably going on 2 years for a community member to be on that committee, and we have a volunteer. So with the assembly approval, I'd like to appoint Daniel Harrison to fill the vacancy on the finance committee until October 2026.
That's an ongoing appointment.
Okay, there's no time limit to it?
There's not.
Okay. All right. So from here on out. Any objection?
All right.
Amen.
He signed up. All right. Next up, we have appointment of two assembly members and one alternate assembly member to sit on the IBEW Collective Bargaining Union negotiations team for the city. And I would like to appoint the committee that we've had in the previous CBA negotiations. I'll appoint Mayor Patricia Gilbert, Vice Mayor David Powell, and for alternate, Assembly Member Ann Morrison. Any objection from the Assembly? All right, that'll stand then. Next up, item 11A, public hearing. This is a hearing to accept community comments and alternative proposals for funding consideration under the FY23 Community Development Block Grant Program and selecting a priority project. I will open the public hearing and have an administrative report.
Thank you again. So this public hearing has been set to solicit project ideas from the community to submit to the Community Development Block Grant Program for project funding. Every year they have a new round of this program funding available. It is available to communities who have at least 51% persons who benefit from a project who are low and moderate income persons as defined by HUD. Wrangell has been determined to be comprised of at least 52.8% low and moderate income residents, which makes us eligible to apply to this program. The national goals of the program include providing financial resources to communities for public facilities, planning, and special economic development activities that encourage community self-sufficiency, reducing costs of essential community services, reducing or eliminating conditions that are detrimental to the health and safety of residents, and assisting in the creation or retention of jobs for low and moderate income persons. Those were the national goals. The statewide objectives for using the funds are to either provide potential for long-term positive impact and to increase community self-sufficiency, or to reduce threats and conditions detrimental to the health and safety of local residents, or to construct and improve public safety, public facilities, and reduce maintenance costs. The design, engineering, architectural, or feasibility planning, business development, inclusion in a local economic community or capital improvement plan, and using the local resources in combination with CDBG funding. We did hold a public meeting on October 11th to solicit input from the public. We did receive one suggestion through that meeting, which has been added to the projects before you for consideration tonight. For the purpose of this hearing, I would like to go over projects that could be eligible type of projects, and then activities that are not eligible for CDBG funding. So projects that are eligible under community development could be projects such as health clinics, daycare centers, homeless shelters, water and sewer systems, solid waste disposal facilities, flood and drainage facilities, docks and harbors, electrical distribution lines, reconstruction, construction, acquisition. Transportation improvement projects could include local service roads, boardwalks, barge facilities, and airports. Access to public facilities and structures could include removing architectural barriers in conjunction with current renovations, or improving access for handicapped and elderly persons. Real property projects could include acquisition of real property, building removal, improvements, clearance, and demolition. And fire protection facilities and equipment could include acquisition, design, construction, rehabilitation, or purchase. Under the planning division, the funds could be used for a variety of planning purposes, such as marketing studies, feasibility studies, data collection, economic development plans, community land plans, capital improvement plans, and plan updates. The special economics development section allows for the funding to be used for commercial or industrial improvements, improving commercial or industrial building structures or other real estate property, equipment, and improvements, for acquisition, construction, reconstruction, rehabilitation, or installation of those projects. And last but not least, the funds could be used to assist in identifying private for-profit entities or entities, and the project must create, in that instance, That it must create and maintain jobs for low or moderate income persons, and it must assist businesses that provide goods or services needed by and affordable to low and moderate income residents. So there's a wide range of projects that could be considered under this program funding. What cannot be considered under this funding is equipment, the purchase or repair of motor vehicles, equipment, personal property or furnishings not permanently attached to buildings, except for when such vehicles or equipment are utilized for fire protection, such as the latest fire engine that we purchased. It was purchased through these funds. Government buildings are not allowed to be included here. So, for instance, the public safety building is not eligible for funding under this program. However, a fire department, a standalone fire department building, would be. If you conduct government services out of the building, it's not eligible. And pretty much, aside from the fire department, the rest of the public safety building is considered government activity. Regular government operations cannot be funded with this money. Regular maintenance and operations of buildings cannot be funded with this money, and the money cannot be used for political activities. There is the program will fund up to $850,000 of a project, and you must, as a grantee, you must be able to provide 25% match to the total project cost. We have a list of projects that have been solicited already for consideration here, and I'm going to read them in brief. And then you can, if we'd like to have some discussion about those later, I'd be happy to go over that with you. But those projects suggested to date are the Stikine Middle School roof replacement. That project has an estimated cost of nearly $1.5 million. So the $850,000 would go far. This project is one of the priority tasks in our school renovations project that we submitted to the Department of Education. And if we don't see funding that comes from the Department of Education, we've got the $3.5 million GO bond that we need to move forward and identify a project to use that money for. And again, you know, $3.5 million project funding today is not going to go far with a project. I think Josh may speak on this project and has some other things for you to consider. But the 25% match, I believe, could probably be considered from the $3.5 million GO bond. So there's some benefit to that one. The next project that's been suggested is the high school parking lot acquisition and development. So because this program allows for acquisition of land also, in development, it's been estimated at about a $500,000 project for acquiring the land and developing a parking lot on Reed Street to serve the high school and that general area, which is very congested. Funding has not been identified yet for match, so that would have to be identified. The Second Avenue sidewalk, this is a project that we identified earlier on as a priority. It's on our CIP priority list, estimated based on the state of Alaska's estimates when we submitted that for consideration through their TAP project at $692,000. That would be to construct about a 1,200-foot sidewalk along Second Avenue, running from the top of Mission Hill residential area to Bennett Street over towards the schools. The next project suggested is Lower McKinnon Street reconstruction, estimated again using State of Alaska DOT estimate numbers at $1.5 million. That project is suggested to replace Lower McKinnon only, so from between Front Street and Church Street. The next project, design for Inner Harbor replacement, that's just the design for the project, estimated at $1.4 million. The next project is an alternatives analysis for the wastewater treatment plant disinfection initiative that we are being asked to pursue by EPA and DEC. I've estimated the alternatives analysis at about $100,000. My professional recommendation is to look at a project that would maximize that $850,000, you know, more than a smaller amount like the $100,000, but that's up for discussion. The next project is the swimming pool roof replacement. The flat roofs alone, $475,000 estimate. That's taken from our a cost escalation on bids that were received years ago that we did not pursue, but that would replace the five sections of flat roofs above the swimming pool right now that are deteriorating. The next project is the community center life and safety upgrades, estimated at $825,000. This project would replace the fire alarm system as well as the electrical distribution system in the building. That work has been designed, so we have a design sitting on the shelf for this work right here. And just for context, the fire marshal, because the fire alarm system in that building is not up to code for a public facility, they have mandated that we not use the downstairs of that building for public use. They have given us a pass to continue to use that building for public engagement on the second floor because they understand the importance of that building to this community and the space, the old gym space. But this is a project that they would like to see happen, the fire marshal. The next project is the Kyle Engerman Playground. This is a project that we tried to move forward a few years ago and fell short with our funding. This would completely renovate Kyle Engerman Playground in near downtown. The next project is the Yees Day Trail Extension. Yees Day is the Tlingit name for the trail that we are going to build as part of the Mount Dewey Trail Extension. The English translation is New Trail. And this project in particular is proposed to extend where we kind of end the original 6-foot wide trail and we turn back to the southwest to go up the Mount Dewey Hill. This proposed trail would take off across the Muskeg over to the Petroglyph Beach in that residential area on Evergreen Avenue. It is about a 0.7 mile long additional trail. And then last but not least, we had a public input for senior center building renovations, estimated at just under $400,000. This would be to repair the foundation of that building and do some other structural and interior work that is much needed in that building. So those are the projects that have been proposed by community members and also borough staff. We should open it up to any additional public comment, presenting ideas for projects or comments to our projects.
All right, so this completes the administrative report. Now, do we have any public testimony? Please go to the podium. Josh.
Hello, Josh Blatchley, maintenance director for the school district. I'm here to speak in support of the Stickeen Middle School roof replacement as a consideration for the community block grant. I focused on the structures of the building when we originally put things into perspective. I think the structures of the building are important, and if we can maintain those, then we have a chance to maintain the items on the inside of the building as well. So with that in mind, I think that the roofs are a good idea and the siding is a good idea in all the school buildings. When we started we went with a $3.5 million grant bond through the city and use that to apply for the deed grant. The structures were important, and that's kind of what we based the deed grant on. So if we worked just focused on roofs and siding, the middle school roof is probably the roof that's in the worst condition. The elementary roof is also a flat roof, but if I had to pick one over the other, it would be the middle school roof. And then the third structural or component that I had was the siding on the high school with some of the flat roofs to be replaced. That comes to a total of roughly $5 million. What would make up the difference in the $10 million that we got from the grant was some mechanical upgrades and HVAC upgrades in all of the three buildings. So currently we're looking at $3.5 million to spend if we don't get the deed grant. And I think any money that could go to help complete those three structural components would be a benefit. So I just think that that's a good idea. We have some money to spend on the schools, and I would hate to have to choose, like, we wouldn't be able to do one. It would be nice if we could do all of those.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public testimony? All right. I'm going to close the public hearing. And Assembly, you have a motion formed partially at the top of page 27. And for clarification, may I ask, do you have these prioritized in any way?
No, we do not.
Okay. So, Assembly members, if I could just get a motion.
Move to approve this team building build project as a selected priority project for the FY23 Community Development Block Grant CDBG program.
Second. All right, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. And this is the Stikine Middle School roof replacement that we just heard about. A couple of questions. In the scoring, I attended the public meeting, and in the scoring system, do you believe that this would be the best shot at getting $850,000?
I think that this project would have a very good chance at scoring high. anything where you got children involved, they're well received in this program. There's no question that a project like that meets the project impact for affecting low to moderate income persons. So we've seen that already with the two projects that we have currently a CDBG funding for, the rec center and the high school. Those are, you know, community facilities. They like those type of projects. They like other types of projects too, but I do believe that that one would score well.
All right.
I think also, you know, the fact that we've got the $3.5 million GO bond, I haven't confirmed that that could be used as our match, but because it is money that we are paying for, generally loans of that nature, bonds and loans, can be used to match federal funding. So it's, you know, I'm suggesting that it probably can, but that's not a guarantee.
Okay. All right. We might want to back up. Borough manager, good.
So what if we get the deed grant?
If we do get the deed grant, we'll have a, and we got this as well, is that what you're asking? We would have an additional $850,000 for the project.
But if this is designated for the roof and the other one's designated for the roof, then how does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. We would definitely have to separate the roof project from the deed project for the purpose of the CDBG, and that would have to be tracked separately. As far as the Department of Education goes, if we provided funding for a specific section of that portion of that project, I can't imagine that they would disallow that, but I don't have an answer for them.
Yeah. And when's the due date on this? It's
The grant has to be received hard copy in Fairbanks by December 1st.
December 1st.
Short time to complete this grant application.
Well, and I'm torn because I'm trying to set money aside for roads. We've got to come up with a plan that we systematically repair our roads.
I don't know if roads would score too well, unfortunately.
Well, no, I don't think roads will score well at all. I mean, I think your idea of anything impacting children is the best way to go. And I'm thinking that this may clear up SRS money that we could put towards roads too. So,
you know, it's, as far as roads go, my thought on that is, you know, again, like, will your road project have a big impact on your low to moderate income persons, right? So you know, some road projects would probably have a larger impact than others. I think if you are looking at just a surface replacement project, you know, unless you can, you know, provide justification that the surface is so bad that people can't get to and fro because of the deterioration, you know, I think at that point maybe it would score well. I've not ever submitted one for a road project, and I've never had any feedback from them, but I'm just understanding how these granting agencies review projects and consider them with the criteria. I think a simple road resurfacing project likely would not score well.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Any other questions or comments?
I just have one.
Finance director, Belarma.
Yeah, with respect to the GO bonds. So we got $3.5 million in GO bonds. However, they are earning interest, which has to go towards the project. So even if the principal would be disallowable towards the project, we're getting 5% a year. Well, but you know, 10% on 3.5, that's $350,000 in 2 years that will be going towards that project. So the CDBG high school, middle school, roof repair project would in essence be in the scope of that project already, and we could probably use the interest if the principal of the bonds aren't eligible. So that'd be another consideration.
Okay, very good. Any other questions, comments? Okay, poll vote, please. Oh, Assembly Member DeBoer.
Just one comment on this program. I got Mason to pull some numbers. So we've gotten over $2.1 million from this program in the last decade. The only thing scares me a little bit with a potential demographic change. We're only 1.8% away from being ineligible for this. I remember former Mayor Persunko, when I was on here before, I think this happened up in Haines where their demographics changed and they were no longer eligible for this program. So it's nice that we're at least able to be a recipient of this.
And we've been successful, as you pointed out.
Very successful.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, it was several years ago where Wrangell was not identified as being, as qualifying based on the 51%. And we went through a community survey effort. I don't know if you all remember that, but Carol managed that to determine that we were. And so we appealed the CDBG's original decision that we didn't meet the qualifications. And I'm glad that we are still showing that right now, but you know, it's possible we could revert back to that original non-eligible status soon. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions, comments? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Powell.
Yes.
Ward.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Unfinished business, there is none. New business, item 13A, approval of a professional services agreement with Appraisal Company of Alaska, LLC, in the amount of $48,000 for city assessments.
Move to approve a professional service agreement with Appraisal Company of Alaska, LLC, in the amount of $48,000 for city assessments.
Second. Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoer. Administrative report, please.
So they typically start these assessments, and Mason can correct me if I'm wrong, around January, I think, is when they start actually doing the assessment.
Yeah, even actually closer, typically November, December time frame. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're, and this is my fault, I should have done this probably 3 months ago. I just, with other things going on, I completely forgot about this one. And they actually sent me a reminder to get it done, and like I said, I completely forgot about it. But so I think, again, with the turmoil we kind of had last year of going through the assessments, having the same company again kind of do just another run-through, I think it does provide some benefit. I think only doing it 1 year provides us the opportunity to then solicit for the three-year contract to be able to go out next year and do that right out. We could even do it, you know, the very end of it. Whenever we finally get all the assessments, so I'd suggest like a May time frame to put that back out on the street for a 3 year contract.
I can give some insight to Jeff. I talked to Martins, who's kind of second command, because Mike Renfro runs the whole appraisal company of Alaska. We've worked for them, I don't know, Kim, how long, 20 years or something like that. They do Petersburg's as well. And they said that, you know, they could come back and do a 3 year contract for the November 14th meeting and outline, hey, and this year they do, you know, the river in Myers Chuck. Next year they do something else, and then the third year they do Wrangell Island proper kind of thing. There could be some cost savings in doing that, but to Jeff's point, doing a one-year contract kind of like allows you to go out to RFP if you ever want to do that again. But I guess in the three-year contract, you could potentially put a clause in there that, you know, notice is given to. But I think ideally in the perfect world, we move to a three-year contract, then it's like a clear scope whether this happens or not. But that should be the objective, because our three-year assessment reevaluation in the code would coincide with it. So something to shoot for, but I kind of could see both arguments. So, yeah.
And correct me, I remember their contract costing $40,000.
Yep.
Was that last year's contract,
yep,
40, and they raised it to 48?
Yeah, and so sometimes there's some amendments to the contracts based off of Board of Equalization hearings, like us and Valdez had like 220 or something like that, so the time and effort, you know, they have to stay an extra week or so, mm-hmm, so maybe they charged an extra $5,000. We got charged a little extra last year above the 40, so it was more like 45. Just due to all the Board of Equalization hearings and work they had to do to enhance, preclude them from actually happening. Yeah.
Okay. And I do want to make sure that they have everything on file, that they've,
yep,
they've converted everything from the cards to digital.
Yep, the cards have been all digitized, and we've already received the cards back. So.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're assured of that?
Yep.
All right.
But I do think a three-year, again, would be really good, because then you can expect what properties you can outline and tell, you know, constituents, hey, like, these properties are being reassessed this year. Like, I think that's, other than the abnormal new houses and stuff that get developed.
Right.
So, yeah.
Improvements. Okay. Assembly Member DeBoard?
I think my concern was the bigger process with this, because, you know, we had people that hadn't been reappraised since I was in kindergarten. So we got everybody last year, we kind of get everybody on the same page. My bigger concern, I'll go ahead with this because of the 1 year thing, but my bigger concern would be a 3 year contract, and then looking at, do we even need to do it every single year? Do they need to come every year? I mean, where I came from in Virginia, they did it once every 7 years and then adjusted the rate on an annual basis. Could we, under our ordinances, have them come every 3 years to do the whole city, and then maybe do a little bit of the new builds or whatever in the meantime? So I'll go ahead with it tonight, but just want to revamp that process going forward for next year.
Okay. Sounds solid. Any other discussion? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gelbert?
Yes. Page 48, 13B, approval for a sole source procurement in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code 5.10.0501 or IF for the Public Works Department with BSI equipment for a sewer equipment of America model number 900-ECO 12-yard vac truck totaling $521,909.15.
Move to approve sole source procurement in conformance with WMC 5.10.050 IF for the Public Works Department for the BSI equipment for a sewer equipment of American model 900 Eco 12 yard vac truck totaling $521,909.15.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Report, please.
This is a so we have a budget for this. So this is one of the, and I believe we've already signed up with a contractor who's actually goes out to bid for these things. So this will be through that contract. And
right.
If Tom, if you don't have anything further to kind of add to that.
No, that sums it up simply. But you know, we did get a couple of quotes, and you know, kind of working through this process. You know, for myself, definitely learning a little bit more about this Sourcewell thing. We've been paying a membership to it now for 7 years, and basically they put out contracts nationwide to get different kinds of equipment bid. And so you can go on their website and you can type in Public Works, and it lists, you know, sewer equipment, all these different kinds of equipment. And then you can click on that contract, go through, see all the RFP, all the same documents that we would have to develop and utilize. And then their, you know, grading and scoring system on the different vendors and companies, and so that you can see, you know, kind of where everybody stacks up. And so 135 different organizations across the state use this, including, you know, the U.S. Coast Guard, you know, City of Juneau, City of Sitka, Anchorage, Fairbanks, as well as a number of other, you know, tribal organizations and government entities, you know, throughout the state. And so I don't know how much Wrangell has utilized this since we've paid the membership for it, but, you know, it does get us a good deal and a competitively bid piece of equipment. And so, you know, basically we got two quotes from two different companies that utilize Sourcewell. And so these pieces of equipment were competitively bid through these contracts. And, you know, we're able to see the different discounts basically that we get with that. Now, you know, there is, I guess, some different, you know, the big difference in the price. And I think that that's primarily because, you know, one entity had, you know, more profit margin, I guess, than the other. You know, why one discounts a little bit more than the other. And I think that that pretty much sums it up. This would be a like equipment, like model, like size truck. The Freightliner truck is stuff that we have in service, as opposed to, you know, going with International, another company. So it's compatible with our diagnostics equipment and different things like that. So that is why we are requesting the sole source here.
Okay, I know Vactor, one of the companies that bid, the Sourcewell, what is it?
Sourcewell.
The discount was $17,000 something, and BSI, what was that discount?
It's like $11,350.
Okay. Well, how does that compare to our membership? Do you know what our membership costs are per year?
I actually don't, and that's a thing I need to figure out. I'm not actually, like, I don't think that that is coded through Public Works. I've never seen an invoice for that.
I don't think it's ever come before us in the recent past, so.
And honestly, I learned about this in talking with the vendors, because I told the vendors, like, well, hey, I'm going to have to go for a sole source procurement on this. You know, we're getting different quotes, and they had brought up, like, well, this is already competitively bid, and here's the process. And, you know, a lot of municipalities that they work with, that's is sufficient for competitive bidding requirements.
Okay. And this is just for the VAC truck, not the truck.
This is just for the VAC truck, correct.
550 truck, okay.
Yes.
Any questions? Assembly Member Powell?
This is the first I've ever heard of this.
Sourcewell?
Yeah,
I know.
Can we get a report on what we pay for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mason and I can work together on that, because this was my first learning about it as well.
Okay.
I don't know if we considered this when we were talking about the dump truck. We may have.
Not that I know of.
But I've never heard the name. So I appreciate all the information you gave us, but I would like to know what the membership is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think also, too, if we're going to use this as a tool moving forward, which I think is a great option if you're going to buy new, it would be good to amend the code eventually, just to, because it's not super clear. It is competitively bid, and this isn't truly a sole source if it's competitively bid kind of thing. So it's like this little weird thing. But you know, I did some research after talking to Jim Lackey, who's the broker, and Tom on this, and it is a pretty slick thing. And I think even larger procurement departments are leveraging this to cut costs for new equipment. So.
The only other thing I would throw out, if you read through all the fine print and all the documents, Sewer Equipment Company of America was the second highest rated company, and I can't remember exactly what the name of the other one was. The one that was number one, it's my understanding is it's essentially a regional thing. The company that scored the highest, you know, they're like East Coast, you know, Southern United States type of thing, not really located in the Northwest or Alaska.
Okay. Thank you. Ready? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Miller?
Yes. Item C, approval to appoint Finance Director Mason Belarma, Interim Borough Manager, and the amendment to his contract.
Move to approve the appointment of Finance Director Mason Belarma as Interim Borough Manager and to amend to his contract as presented.
Second. Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. You don't know too much about this. Let's have an administrative report.
Do I do it or do you want me to do it?
Go ahead, Finance Director Villarma.
So Jeff's leaving January 1st. I've met with Patty and Dave to serve as interim manager starting November 1st and aid in a nice, transparent, clean transition with Jeff and continue on the good work that we're doing. I think the benefit of having an inside borough manager is twofold. It saves some money. I know that we've seen some costs from interim managers from the AML pool ranging from $15,000 plus a month, which is expensive. I also don't think they have the incentive to do a great job. They kind of can just kind of come in, keep the wheels on the cart kind of thing and take off. But I think the benefit is me and our borough clerk, Kim Lane, can step up as an interim and deputy clerk, deputy borough manager capacity to continue to push a lot of projects forward. I think the monthly price per month kind of thing is kind of a drop in the bucket when you consider the forward momentum we could have and all the good projects we have. I mean, we got Alder Top and we got union negotiations and we got a public safety building to secure financing for, and we got break ground on the water treatment plant, which is a $24 million financing pack. I mean, we got so much ground that it's really a drop in the bucket. And I think we can really continue a lot of the good work and momentum that we have and have a great summer construction in 2024. And I think it's not, like I said, it's not abnormal. Jay Bush served 11 times as interim manager in 30 years. And I calculated we have over 16 permanent borough managers in 30 years. So whether they're getting good jobs like Jeff or they're just getting burned out, I don't know what the case is. But I'm happy to serve the borough and push the public's best interest forward as well as the assembly. So that's really it.
Thank you. And Vice Mayor Powell and I were tasked to negotiate this addendum to the contract. And do you want to speak to that?
Yes. I actually didn't want our finance director to do that, but I didn't want to, basically fight for his own job there, I guess. But we looked into this quite a bit, and I figured where we're saving money, it's going to cost us, no matter what, to have an interim borough manager, and anywhere from $16,000 to $18,000. And so I feel that by doing this and keeping our projects moving along and not just having an interim borough manager out of AML, which would be just keep our doors open, this is a big benefit to us to keep our projects moving, to keep it in-house. And that's why we did what we did, is what I feel is actually, to me, quite a bargain to have these two doing this job.
And for the public, the agreements of the addendum to the contract is that the interim borough manager works at the pleasure of the assembly, and the addendum to the contract can expire at any time. The interim borough manager wishes to get out of this addendum, they have to give us 30 days notice. These are the keys, and the cost is an extra $10,000 per month, beginning November 1 until we find, and there probably should be overlap with the placement of a new borough manager. Any questions, comments? Assembly Member DeBoard.
I just kind of reiterate what everybody said, but to me, the opportunity costs that we could potentially lose are far greater than a $10,000 a month extension, which is already a savings of at least $8,000 to have somebody, kind of like Mason said, just to try to keep the wheels turning. That's been something that has driven me crazy over the years, of seeing how many opportunity costs that we've lost. And kind of reiterate, he came in and now we're making $750,000 in interest, whereas we were told, oh, we can't do that before. COVID funding could have been invested. We were told, oh, you can't do that before, and he figured out that what we could have. So there's some big opportunity costs there that we could potentially lose, it far outweigh the $10,000 a month contract addition.
Correct.
Thank
correct. And my drive was to move forward. I don't want someone just warming up the seat. Yeah. We can't afford to lose any progress momentum.
Right now to lose it.
Yep. I'm very happy with the momentum we've got going. Any other questions, comments? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, approval to appoint Borough Clerk Kim Lane as Deputy Interim Borough Manager and to approve the First Amendment to the Borough Clerk's contract.
Move to approve the appointment of Borough Clerk Kim Lane as Deputy Interim Borough Manager and to approve the First Amendment to the Borough Clerk's contract as presented.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. And this amendment to the borough clerk's contract mirrors the interim borough contract. This addendum also works at the pleasure of the assembly. And I believe if the clerk wants to get out of this amended part of the contract, she has to give us at least 30 days. She's currently our acting borough manager at the absence of our borough manager, and she's requesting the same salary that she would get as the acting borough manager, and that's $2,700 extra per month. So a little bit of information to the public. Any comments, questions? So we've got a solid team in place while we go through this transition, and hopefully it will be a very smooth transition. These two individuals will be on board when I have our new borough manager, and we should be able to roll right through. Any questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Attorney's file is available, and we are going to adjourn at, it's 8:19.
19?
8:23.
Oh, 8:23.